Come here, bud. Come on.
I know you're upset, okay, but we talked about this, right?
It's a little like football. Now I'm the team captain. We've all been training really hard. So now it's just time, okay? It's time for us to go play in the big game.
But you've never been to war before.
Oh, well, it's not really war, buddy.
I'm just going over there to go help some people. That's it.
Then you don't have to go. Soldiers only go to wars.
Sometimes they go for peace, too.
Now, those guys in my platoon, those are my guys. You understand? They're my family, too. And Daddy's got to go over there and keep them safe.
You like them better than us.
Hey, Elijah, no.
I hope you never come back!
Hey, come on, bud. Elijah!
That's a scene from the Nat Geo miniseries that's upcoming here, The Long Road Home. And Martha Raddatz from ABC News. We love Martha Raddatz. She always is wearing a helmet, and she's always on the deck of an aircraft carrier. That's what we love most about Martha Raddatz. It's based on your book, which is really, really, really compelling piece about this attack in 2004 in Sadr City. And it was known as Black Sunday for this. And by the way, it's very interesting. As I was watching this last night, by the way, it doesn't premiere now for a couple of weeks. We'll talk about that in just a second. But we got an advanced copy of it and able to look at it. It reminds me very much of what the details now are coming out about Niger. And the fact that maybe some locals had gotten involved in setting up an ambush for the troops that were returning back to a base. Very similar story, I think, right?
Well, yeah, that definitely resonated this week with me and was a reminder that sometimes going into a situation, you have no idea what's going to happen. I'm so glad you ran that particular clip, because I think it's what is different about this program and about this miniseries is that it focuses on the families as well. Yeah. I mean, that really captured when those guys left, because they thought they were going on a reconstruction mission, a peacekeeping mission, and then were ambushed and 19 soldiers pinned down on that rooftop. They lost 8 soldiers that night and more than 60 wounded. And the majority of those were soldiers who were determined to go in and rescue their brothers.
Martha, you covered so many war situations, and you were in Iraq from the beginning, is my understanding, covering that war. There had to be so many stories in your background, people you've met that struck you and really made an impact on you when you met them and when you heard about different stories. Why this one? Why did you say, this is the story that I need to make sure I tell?
I think when you meet soldiers who've been through something like that, and they are so intimate with you. They tell you things that happened to them that they may not have told anyone before, including their spouses. It is hard to talk about battle. It is hard to talk about terrible things you've seen. But I think once you have that conversation and once you make that connection with someone like that, and then meeting their families and knowing that and feeling like at times bridge between those soldiers and their families, because, you know, on the one hand, I'm going off to war in those helmets you guys say you love. And on the other hand, when I come back, I'm a wife and mother. So it's, you know, you have that connection to both ends. But this is the most important project story I've ever been involved with, and I'm still very close to many of those soldiers and families from that day, and I think I always will be. I'm so proud of this project, and I, you know, the one thing that I think is amazing about it too is it's you saw that with EJ Bonilla, who plays the platoon leader Shane Aguero. These are not your action figure super SEALs. These are guys who were like driving around in a minivan and then suddenly find themselves in the streets of Sadr City in a terrible attack.
Mm. Well, isn't that just the truth of the military? This is, I think that we've so Hollywoodized, so sensationalized, you know, who these, you know, the workaday men and women of the Department of Defense are really. I mean, you know, they come from all stripes. And
they're your neighbors. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, you hit it on the head. It's exactly that. It's exactly just regular people who are thrown into these situations and show courage and bravery and It's a story not, you know, it has all those, but it's a story of great hope. I mean, I would just say that knowing these guys has made me a better person and gives me comfort about our country, about what they will do for us.
There was a very poignant moment in this, too. And I don't want to give too much away because it's, you know, people should see this. Yeah. But there's a moment where there are two guys, you know, who were together mm-hmm. in a situation, and they realize, you know, one was a teacher for at-risk youth and the other guy was an at-risk youth.
Gosh.
Right. Not in the same,
yeah.
you know, yeah, place, yeah. But
right
the
there.
Idea that and they're standing next to each other, you know, with their guns drawn, with their, you know, with their rifles, you know, pointing out at what they think is the enemy. And they realize they make this connection. And I want to go back to this because this is, I think, critical. And this is one of the things I've really always appreciated about your work mm-hmm. is that you try to make human and try to make accessible people that we have in some cases lionized, in other cases demonized. That these are people that are of all stripes. You can't say, I get a little uncomfortable, a lot uncomfortable when politicians and the president in this particular case, I'm thinking of, you know, say, well, the military loves me. The military is a gigantic exercise in sociology. I mean, there's no, you know, one mind of the military other than to use their training to stay alive and do their job as well as they possibly can. That's the one thing I know about
them.
They
do. And it's also, you know, you say the diversity in the military. I mean, one of the people in here became a very outspoken anti-war protester and was down in Crawford, Texas a lot. And I have to give props to the Army because they know that's in this and they still signed off on this series. And I love that he is included in such a big way in this because it just shows how many different kinds of people are there. And it is not, as you said, that just sort of stereotype and lionized and, you know, Hollywoodized. This is a real gritty, down to earth, relatable series that if you're not crying at the end of Part Eight, and crying and have hope at the same time, there's something the matter with you.
Oh, well, I was crying at the end of Part Two, and I don't know what the hell to do about that.
5 minutes in, it was it showed the realities of war in a graphic way, but then, as Ro just said, a human way. What about the family? As you mentioned them, have they been able to bring themselves to see this yet? Have they screened it? Any reaction from them?
There have been some, absolutely, and I know that there's a pride. I know the Gold Star families are that have seen parts of it have been so wonderful, and the actors. I have to say this: they have been so respectful, so wonderful to these families. I mean, they, you know, they have barbecues for them. They want to know everything about their son or their husband. There's a real bond between the cast. I'm sure you know that, like Michael Kelly from, you know, plays a bad guy on House of Cards, plays one of the best guys in the world in this series, Lieutenant Colonel at the time, Gary Valesky, Jeremy Sisto, E.J. Bonilla, John Beavers. We also have Miko Alon, who is the screenwriter, executive producer, and showrunner for this. It had a fantastic big role for the Iraqi interpreter and tries very hard and does a magnificent job of showing the Iraqi perspective of all this.
Yeah.
That's
fascinating too. You can just imagine, and I know that was, you know, a big part of what your work has been concerning these wars too, is the interpreters and the civilians that in these countries that help the United States mm-hmm. and how they're then viewed, yeah. especially if things don't go well, right, in the occupation or, you know, and you're seeing this all over Iraq and people getting even, and you could see it.
Oh, they're in terribly dangerous positions.
Yeah.
Terribly.
I mean, and we weren't letting them in.
In the book.
That's
yeah.
one of the
right.
things
about the
immigration policy that was so crazy is that that's one of the things that stopped, that actually got the president's attention on this, which was, hey, we have civilians from these countries that help us that need to get out and get in here, and you need to make sure that they and their families are taken care of because they went to great personal risk, and their children and everybody else around them was at risk based on what they were doing. Hey, can I ask you really quickly about something? First of all, let me just say that this series, Long Road Home, you've seen the commercials for it or the promos for it on TV probably. It's going to be on Nat Geo starting on November 7th at 8 o'clock Chicago time. And it's all based on Martha Raddatz's New York Times bestseller. And this, it really is something special, especially if you're, you know, somebody who gravitates toward this kind of material, toward war stories and things like that. But this is really something special because it does look at both. So there's a little bit, and this is not a slight, this is just a reality here. It's a little bit of like Lifetime meets the History Channel all at once. I don't know quite how you do that, but
that's
sort of
a bad thing.
Yeah,
that's not a bad thing. That's a good thing.
Yeah, so that's I can tell that's what you're going for. All right, let me ask you though about Korea, because I know last week, and I still don't. This is the thing about Martha Raddatz I never understand. She defines the word intrepid. She's doing the Sunday morning show, but then she shows herself. She was on an aircraft carrier, and she took the cot onto the aircraft carrier. Then she's at a Marine Air Base in Japan, and then somehow she's there. And you spent the week last week in and around the U.S. military as they're you know, kind of wargaming and setting up for the North Koreans. And then today, you got Kim Jong-un saying that you take literally, or the North Koreans are saying, take literally our threat to test our hydrogen bomb. How prepared and what is your assessment of what the military reaction is going to be there if something does happen?
Well, if there's any threat to the U.S., I think that U.S. will obviously do something about that and try to do something about that. If you tested a hydrogen bomb over the Pacific and there was an electromagnetic pulse that went out of there and affected any kinds of grids or airplanes, I think if there is a threat to the U.S. or U.S. forces over there, the U.S. will probably do something. I still think they have hope that this can be solved through more pressure. But I'll tell you, you know, if you saw that piece on Sunday, it is we're ready to fight tonight if we have to. And that's how they train over there. It's intense. Wow. I mean, you know, they'll tell you it's just, you know, going about business, ma'am. But it's intense. There's been a lot of simulations, a lot of exercises.
Right. And there's a lot of asset in the area, too, right?
Yes, there certainly is.
Yeah, I think that's the thing is that, and you showed, you know, pictures of these, you know, like phalanxes of naval assets steaming into the area, mm-hmm. right? I mean, and I know that's something that we want China to see, that we want. I mean, the DOD, they cooperate with the media when it benefits them as well, right? And it's up to reporters to make sure that you're telling the story as best you can tell it. But you know, you're riding on their equipment, right? You know, getting to and from.
Right,
they have to secure you getting to and from. And so, you know, some people have to go through embed training before they're allowed to do that. So they're, you know, it's a very fine line. But while you're doing it, and I've always appreciated your work because I think you tell the story as best as you possibly can while still being respectful of, you know, the rules and letting people know that you know, they're helping us tell the story. And that's another thing I really love about, at least I have loved traditionally about the DOD, which is they're more open-minded than you would think about the way that their stories are told. Would you agree with that?
Yeah. No, they're great. And I always say the people I respect most are those who understand that we're going to tell the story. If they mess up, we're going to tell that story too. And they will say, if we mess up, you should tell that story. Mm-hmm. So it's a balancing act there.
Yeah. That's the only place in Washington you'll hear someone say that.
Probably.
Yeah. All right. A long road home. Get the book, but to see this, Nat Geo, starting November 7th at 8 o'clock Chicago time. It's a miniseries. And also, I don't know, people, they have the DVRs and then they got the on-demand and all the rest of it. I don't know how people see anything anymore.
You've got to see it.
It is definitely.
It gets better every single episode.
Yeah, it's compelling. I mean, it sucks you right in from the very
it
beginning.
Does.
That scene is right at the very top there, where the little boy is mad at his dad for leaving, and every single deployed military man and woman knows that scene in their house.
Right, and just the whole home front, the emotions really captured in this.
Yeah. All right, Martha Raddatz, thank you very much.
Appreciate it. Well, thank you, guys.
Thanks,
Martha.
Thank you so much.
All right, there she goes, Martha Raddatz. Here's Violetta Pottermedic, WGN Traffic Trouble Spots.